Welcome, everyone, back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the On3 Network, and I am joined on this fine Friday morning by Tracy Pearson.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm good. How are you,
You don't
Dave?
Often get your name sung, you know?
Oh, I do all the time.
Well, I get that. There's a choir of angels following you around at all times.
People just sing to me.
I used to be in that choir of angels. Tracy.
Until you went to hell.
If you notice a little pep in our step, it's because we haven't had to go to a UCLA football practice this week.
And no, you know what? They were actually good practices. It was entertaining. It wasn't like back just a matter of years when it was torture.
True.
So, but there's still, it's still a lot.
Yeah, it's still a lot. But we got a lot to talk about today. UCLA had, I don't know, its best recruiting weekend in like over a decade this past weekend. So we're going to talk about all that.
There's a little thing too. There's an event.
There was this event. It was called the, I'm trying to see if I've got the pronunciation correctly, the Spring Game. Is that right? Is that not right?
At the Rose.
At the Rose Bowl. Is that right?
It should be Bowl. Shouldn't it be Bowl?
Rose Bowl's. That's
English
a tough
has
one.
The weirdest.
That's a tough morning after the Rose Bowl. We've had that before.
That's true.
So we got to talk about that. And then there's some other upcoming football recruiting. This is gonna be a football heavy show today. Because there's a
mostly
lot.
Because there's nothing to talk about when it comes to basketball. We're on Tunde.
We're on day 17. Day 17, according to Guapo on our message board.
Yeah, I love Guapo.
Yeah,
he's moving up the rankings.
Oh, he's rapidly rising.
I mean, Moon Bruin is number one.
Yeah,
because he sustained it over years, but Guapo is moving up with a bullet.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah. All right. Well, let's start with. You want to start with the spring game and then just work into recruiting?
No. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll have some stuff to talk about, including I think we're publishing a story right now about a guy who's committing instantaneously, or actually his school dimed him out last night, Gage Esty.
Wait, Dave, first off, I got to take a screenshot of where UCLA's class is currently ranked.
Oh yeah, before the commitment gets logged.
Before that gets logged. Okay.
We're okay. So side note, again,
this is kind of our long running personal joke.
We're kind of scattered right now, but On3's recruiting rankings, look, you may wonder what's going on with them. So do we. But it's very funny every time UCLA gets a commitment and either the ranking goes down or adjusts by 1/1000th of a point.
But then it went up 7 points when George, was it Toya who committed?
Yeah.
Now, I got a full explanation and I understand the rationale behind it, and I'm not going to spend any time on this. On3 has rational reasons on why they do it this way. There could be other better ways to do it. And this is the great thing about On3. I got to tell you, they're working themselves. It established by people who really know what they're doing. Some of the most experienced people in the business, and they're trying to take this to a whole nother level of experience. So they are willing to build and develop, which we really like about them. So that is great. And this, everything's a work in progress, which we love, instead of, we're done with that. We're not touching it ever again. So all good stuff. If there's something you're a little frustrated with or could be improved, there's potential for it to always improve with On3.
Yes. And I would also say their transfer portal rankings make a lot more sense than any other network. But we want to talk about the Spring Game first. UCLA was out at the Rose Bowl. I will say my skepticism about it being a real game, I think, was assuaged where, it was a real spring game. And
was your skepticism was assuaged?
I don't know what that means. I just,
it's the opposite. Just even a few minutes before, you're okay, man. Well, what are the odds this is good? This is going to be a
good game. No,
because
that would
be
my skepticism was confirmed. I would say like skepticism is this negative thing that got smoothed away. That's what I'm going with assuaged there. Does that
okay.
work?
Yeah, no, that does work. You're right. But okay. You had, I mean, 2 minutes before it, you know, what are the chances? When does this end? Because we are so conditioned by everything else of what we've seen in the past. We've got to throw out the past, Dave.
Now, by about halfway through, I was like, when is this going to end? With a kind of plaintive pleading.
You went the other way.
Yeah, because spring games, so when they're at their best, they just leave you with this feeling of, okay, can I watch some real football now? Like, I'm excited to watch this team. I would like to watch them play in a real game now. And then you realize very quickly, oh no, that's still 4 months away. And that's kind of the feeling I walked away from the Rose Bowl with, which is like, okay, that was pretty good.
You know, my sense of that too, what we were talking about at the moment, was it was a full 2 hours, and Bob Chesney, and watching his body language, it looked like he just wanted it to keep going on for like 5 hours. Like, uh-huh. He didn't want, we thought we were taking bets, the media, if they tied on that last drive, would Chesney insist on an overtime? And we were all saying, oh, he definitely will.
Yeah,
he will. He's not calling this.
He was having a blast.
He wants an excuse to just keep playing.
Yeah. Having a blast. That's a guy who is, you know, like, I've got a radar for people who are like excessively positive, where I always think they're hiding something very deep and dark inside.
BS meter. Me too.
I don't sense it from him. Like, it's very much like, oh no. You are just, you've got like, just a natural well of like your body, instead of like producing regular hormones, it just produces amphetamines. Like, yep. Oh, you've just got that energy all the time. Yep. That's just what you've got. But it's, the thing was, and I made this point to a couple members of the media. I personally, as like a guy who covers the team, probably would have gotten more out of another just practice than I did out of the spring game itself, because the way they structured it, it's more competitive. It's more interesting, I think, is like just a fan opportunity. But because they mixed and matched all the offensive linemen, because they mixed and matched on defense and all that kind of stuff, there actually wasn't that much to glean from like a depth perspective. Like, we couldn't really tell, you know, as much as we've been able to this spring. You know, when we saw who Nico was working with, we had a pretty good idea of what was sort of forming into the quote unquote ones. Like, I would say we're reasonably confident right now. Riley Robel is angling towards being the starting center. Do you want to know why? Because he took 100% of the reps with Nico Iamaliava as the first string center. That's probably a good indicator. Or nearly, not 100%, but nearly. But during this, I mean, it's just, there were guys all over the place, and guys we would anticipate being the starters who were the blocking, you know, offensive linemen for Madden, and so on and so forth. And even the way they structured the teams, where Nico was the starting quarterback for one and Madden Iamaliava was the starting quarterback for the other. I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if that's a true depiction of the current depth situation. I think my read on it is still that it's more likely Ty Dieffenbach, who's the number two guy right now. So I don't know. It was, I think it was interesting. I think there were some fun big plays and like all that kind of stuff that I think gets fans excited, you know, watching Kenneth Moore. I keep wanting to call him Kenneth Walker, by the way, going back to our friend Kenny Walker from back in the day, who was also a speedster. And I'm going to slip up at some point, and I know it, but Kenneth Moore catching a big touchdown, you know, just big, there's some big plays across the field, but, you know, I think from our perspective, there weren't as many notes to glean, you know, in terms of determining what kind of team this is going to be.
Yeah, just from my standpoint, I liked seeing actual football being played after so many just practice drills and even team drills in practice. It's just, after a while, just to actually watch a game-like environment at the Rose Bowl was something for me. The thing I missed in this is being able to go home and watch the replay since it wasn't televised anywhere. But yeah, I liked seeing it this way. I thought it gave us a little bit different perspective on everything. You could see like someone like Brian Rowe. I think he really showed off. There were certain players that really showed off, like Sammy Almasigo, I think was probably my most pleasant takeaway.
Yeah, no, because we hadn't, Because of the way they mix and match and everything, and also because most of the practices were not full contact, Sammy and Mosigo, we were still kind of in that, is he or isn't he? Like, is this really going to work out or not? And then spring game, I mean, I'm still not, I mean, it's not a real game, so I don't know for sure, but he checked the boxes, I think, that we were looking for going into that one. Other than that, like, I mean, what can you really tell about the interior DL when they weren't really running their, you know, starting two on either side? Hard to know. Tracy McDonald has a great story on the site today just about the continued skepticism around the interior of the defensive line. I think it's still the position group that's probably most uncertain heading into the fall. But I mean, otherwise, I would just say it was a good spectacle for the fans. I mean, and I do think the crowd was pretty good. I know it was getting some, you know, some consternation on Twitter and maybe on our message board as well. But it was, I mean, reasonably full on that, you know, whatever you want to call that, that quarter of the Rose Bowl. I mean, I would say it was comfortably like 8,000 to 10,000. Maybe more than that.
I thought a little more, actually.
Yeah. And yeah. And beyond that, I mean, if you compare it to spring games past, I mean, there have been spring games that couldn't fill up Drake. This one, I mean, it was, I would say, fairly comparable to a lot of the Jim Mora ones. I think Mora might have gotten like 18 to 20 out there for like 2014, maybe. But other than that, I mean, I think it was very comparable to a lot of spring games. And it was enough of a crowd that there was noise that, you know, I think the players felt like they were, you know, being seen. Like it wasn't some dead mausoleum type thing. So I thought it was a good crowd. I thought it was a good event. The tailgating seemed pretty good pregame. So I kind of walked through a little bit. So overall, I think it was fun. And I think it was, you know, kind of the showcase they needed. And, you know, the good thing was it was an opportunity for the fans because spring wasn't open at all for, you know, kind of the first time where no fans could come for any of the practice sessions. So it was good for, you know, fans to get an opportunity to see guys that we've been talking about, like see Brian Rowe. Okay. Yeah, there he is making a one-handed catch on a slant, which you don't see too often, Tracy.
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't just watching him in game situations, just watching him getting off the line in actual plays. Watching his explosion, watching his elusiveness. It's that kind of stuff too that stood out. I did a lot. I went, like, whenever I do that, you step back and you watch, but then there are some guys you want to isolate on, right? He's a guy who I just really wanted to isolate on most of the day. Yeah. And, you know, Zaire, I isolated on him too. So yeah, I thought it showcased a lot of the stuff that we had, it kind of confirmed a lot of the things that we had come to conclude, right, on for spring. I think going in, Dave, I think last podcast we'd say we'd like to see Brian Rowe step up and have a little bit of star power in this spring game. I think he did that. So we'd really like to see Sammy Omosigo show up, and he did that. We wanted to see the offense show some just some rhythm and connection. And they did that in the second half, I'd say. First half was pretty rough. So overall, I mean, it kind of satisfied what we wanted going in. Still a lot of question marks, like what you said and what Tracy said about the defensive line. And still the offensive line, particularly left tackle.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any certainty about anything on the left tackle position. You know, it's funny with Rowe. I don't know if this is me being gun shy, but like somebody asked me on the board yesterday, you know, is he the most talented receiver you've always had in like the last 25 years? I guess drawing the comparison to Freddie Mitchell. And like, I want to say, I can't really remember a guy more talented. Like but I'm basing it off of spring football, right? And, you know, you'd like to think, oh, yeah, he's going to, you know, go out there and, you know, dominate. But also, how many times have we seen a guy dominate in spring and then, you know, not really do a whole lot? But it's not like a Steven Manfro thing. Like, this is, a guy who's like a fantastic athlete. For a dude who's 5'10", he's got some real verticality to his game. We've seen him high point some balls. He's got really impressive body control, like almost like a dancer out there. And then you combine that with explosive speed, quickness. And then, you know, that it's hard to describe it exactly, but a knack for playmaking. You know, the ability to have the concentration to make a contested catch or to catch something around a defender or make a one-handed catch when a one-handed catch is needed. We saw a lot of that this spring. Now it has been the case in the past where you see stuff in spring that doesn't translate to games. And so I want to keep that skepticism, but it was a really, really impressive spring for a sophomore receiver who, you know, he started in the SEC a few games last year, but he didn't like set the world on fire. Really, really impressive player.
Yeah.
All right. That's the spring game. You have any other takeaways you want from the spring game?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay.
I think you covered it there.
Let's move on to recruiting. So UCLA had a crazy weekend last weekend. We were talking about it a fair amount on our last show and just what kind of weekend it was projecting to be. At that time, George Tawia had committed. I believe Jerry Outhouse was on his way to committing. Jackson Roper was committing that day. And then the day after, Jayshon Gibson, Juju Johnson committed. And then the day after that, Rob Larson, Deuce Jones-Drew committed. And then since then, it's been even more. On Wednesday, God's Choice, Boyd Bowden committed. And then just now, Gage Esty committed. This is Friday morning.
And we'll just say it. There might be something. I don't know, Dave. There might be something else happening.
I think there's going to be something else happening.
Okay.
At this point.
Yeah. Incredible run.
It's
just it's the thing nuts. That really sent it over was Juju Johnson. I mean, this was good. Getting Juju Johnson on Saturday, highest ranked committed player for UCLA's class right now. Really a very talented kid, a type of talent that will come in and I think immediately compete to play in his first year. So many things: local, Long Beach Poly, high profile, who they took him from, just so much. And that really sent this over. I think that's what got, you know, there was a lot of national attention suddenly.
Yeah.
Women started talking. I think it was Juju Johnson. I don't know if everyone cited it as the thing that got them noticing, but I think that's what sent it over and sent UCLA to the first, I think, number 10 recruiting class that's settled in at 11 right now.
Yeah, and it's that national attention. There was an article in The Athletic. There was an article on ESPN. Chesney's been doing another media tour, where he was on Rich Eisen. He was on, you know, a variety of different shows. Like that's the kind of thing that this sort of momentum feeds on itself. Like it can create a narrative that you don't think it will matter, but like it can actually help shift the recruitment because suddenly there's energy around UCLA. And yeah, obviously money is a huge part of this. Let's not discount that, but the old like truths and verities of recruiting still matter, relationships, but also like if guys feel like they're signing on to a rocket ship, that helps to entice them. Like it just does. So yeah. This is big.
Well, let's go over just really quickly. We can go like, what this recruiting class is. We haven't done this in a long time. This is what the site used to be based on, Dave, was, you know, following recruiting.
Tell and, me more.
Football recruiting. Couldn't do that for, you know, a little bit of a time, high school recruiting. But now we
why? Can. What was there something that happened?
I'm not going to get you started.
Was there a coach who didn't value high school recruiting? I'm trying to remember.
At quarterback, they've been involved with Dane Weber for quite a while, and it doesn't seem like anyone knows if he's going to do UCLA or Cincinnati's still there too, but It's UCLA or Cal. He's not really showing his cards. I like Weber. He doesn't kind of have, he's got, you know, physically not a great body, but he throws a really good ball. And if you watch him on tape, he's mobile. He can move and gain some yards with his feet. So like him. Then we got news of Brady Edmonds, the Ohio State commit from Huntington Beach. Ohio State's recruiting other guys. It looks like he might open up. He's another four-star pocket passer kind of guy. That's where quarterback recruiting is right now. I think if they miss quarterback, you could just go out and get a younger, promising transfer. I think quarterback, there's a lot of guys out there highly ranked. Go, you know, they believe they're going to go in somewhere as a true freshman and be an All-American, and they go, oh, crap, I had a red shirt. Don't feel like there's a future there because they committed to a program that's got five quarterbacks ahead of them, and then decide, and they're talented kids though, they just need to develop and decide to transfer. So I'm not in the transfer portal era, not worried about quarterback.
No, because I think if you're a school with any sort of resources, which most of the P4 is now, there's always going to be somebody serviceable in the transfer portal you can go and get. There always is. And yeah, you would like superstardom and all that kind of stuff, but like, you're never going to be in a position where you're ending up, you know, going into a year with somebody who has no chance, which UCLA at different times has, or at least in the long ago past.
Both of those guys are four stars, because let's think about this also from the perspective of UCLA maintaining its top 15 class and what it would take. Weber is a four star with Rivals. He'll probably end up a four star in the industry rankings too. So that would all work out. Running back. Have you watched Jayshon Fats Gibson, Dave?
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. About the same size as like Anthony Woods or Javian Thomas. Has good quickness. Not big time, like top end speedster guy. But I like how he runs. Runs leaning forward, gets through the line explosively.
Can willing take to hits, hit, willing to take
keep,
hits.
Keep moving on. Really like him. And then you got Deuce. And Deuce just brings joy. I mean, because you look at him and you go, he looks like his dad. So that's just a great all-around take. I like it. Running back will be another position, I think, that any program, especially UCLA, will probably always look to the transfer portal, probably every cycle.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And... you know, I mean, there's also some stuff, I mean, still in UCLA's roster that, I mean, you combine with what they're getting and then what they will retain in terms of Carson Cox and whatnot. And I mean, I think they'll be okay. But yeah, you can always supplement with the transfer portal. Receiver, Tracy.
Yeah, it was obvious what they've been trying to do. They want to get a well-balanced class. They want like the big possession guy, and they got him in Rob Larson, who's a high three-star right now. Another guy will probably end up a four-star. I mean, he's 6'2", 200 pounds, and he ran a 4.5 40 at Under Armour, and he plays for Folsom, which is probably the most prolific throwing offense in high school football in California. So he's going to put up big numbers. So they got him. They got Michael Farinas, who's your 5'8 slot. So, Dave, they're looking for another guy, kind of a mid-sized guy in there.
Who's maybe got some good top-end speed, maybe some great top-end speed.
Really speedy kind of guy would kind of complement that out. And they probably won't stick at three. They could move on to four, Dave.
Right. And maybe that guy is, I mean, like just thinking, maybe like I'm thinking the guy with the first name of like like the capital of a Caribbean country.
Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. We don't know.
This is me being hypothetical and just kind of speculating. Like, I don't know, like a Havana. Like,
you know, it's coming from a guy who names his children after cities. So, correct. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Progressively worse ones.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you start with Berkeley and then you go to Abilene, Texas.
I mean, come on. Yeah. You didn't do that for the city. You just like the name.
Yeah, kind of.
If you're going to name a third, what would it have been?
I mean, probably Blythe, right?
Sacramento.
You got to go Blythe at that point.
Oh, you like Blythe. You drive
through Blythe. No, you got to go Blythe because you're trying to get worse and worse cities, right?
I could think of others. How about Garden Grove? No. Someone lives in Garden Grove and they're going to be so pissed off.
Baker.
Tight end. They're pretty. Baker Woods. That actually sounds really good, though. Baker Woods. He's got it. He's touchdown. Baker Woods.
Brawley. How about Brawley?
Brawley. Have you been to Brawley?
Yeah, I've been.
I played some club soccer games there, man. Wow.
Tough spot. Tough spot. Tough wide spot in the road.
Tight end. They are pretty much done with Zach Ferris, the four-star commitment from Las Vegas. They are tripping in a few other guys who I would think they might take, but I'm feeling good right there about tight end there, Dave.
Offensive I do, too. Offensive line, Tracy.
Yes.
Jackson Roper.
We like Jackson Hill. He was their first commitment. Solid offensive tackle. You and I watched him at Under Armour. Really good size. You talking about having a little crush. Tracy, look at his bend.
He has great bend. It's insane, guys. The level of flexibility from that guy, because you wouldn't look at him and think, wow, that guy's really flexible. But then he's doing his stretches and like, he's one of those guys who could probably get his elbows on the ground like bending at the waist.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts.
I like him as a developmental tackle. So that's good. That's their commitment from inside. Outside.
But they get three more guys named Jackson. And then when they start on the offensive line.
Gage is kind of screwing that up right now.
Tracy, when they start on the offensive line, then they could be the Jackson
five. That's a really good idea. That's it. They should do it just for that. They'd get so much publicity just for that.
They really need to do it.
The second Jackson is Jackson Roper from Colorado. This might have been the second most noteworthy commitment that we've had so far because it kind of came out of nowhere. We had heard someone told us it was happening. We're all. No, it's not. Like a few
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. And then we started hearing it more and more. Damn. I watch a lot of he's one of the guys you start to watch tape and you want to watch more. He's projected as an inside offensive lineman. I think mostly because, you know, his size lends itself to that 6'4" and probably 285, 290. Saw him at the game at the Game, sorry. And, liked how he looks physically. His weight is well distributed, but on tape, he's got the feet and athleticism of a tackle. And you like that in your guards. I mean, UCLA looks like they're starting to go for this small road grader on the inside offensive lineman. Roper isn't that. He's really mobile. He'd be a great. He could really pull. But I wouldn't put it past him that he might be a guy that ends up maybe potentially playing some at offensive tackle too.
Xavier Suofilo-esque.
Yes. Not that he is, because Suofilo was in the NFL for 10 years or something. True. And then today, Gage Esty, not to be confused with Etsy.
But if only.
If only. And like his whole family could give like $100 million in NIL. We watched just a little tape on him. He is that kind of low to the ground, 6'3", 270, kind of road grading.
Likes the pancake, guys.
But showed some athleticism too, showed some explosion. They definitely have the type of guy they're going after. So I'd say at least two more. Given the guys that they're pursuing, the amount of guys they're pursuing and who they're pursuing, I'd say at least one more tackle prospect. And probably one more inside offensive lineman. So I would not be surprised at two more. Defensive line. This is really fun, Dave. This is fun to talk about.
It's so fun to talk about because UCLA already has George Towea, and we talked about him extensively last week, so we don't need to belabor that one again.
Fun guy to watch on tape.
But the big pickup, and we'll talk about Montana Toilolo in just a second, but the big pickup this week was God's Choice, Eboig Bowden. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Why did he pick UCLA, Dave?
Why, Tracy?
It was God's choice.
he's a really high
when upside. I set you up on really obscure shit like that, oops, you almost always get it. I think you're tired right now. You always get this obscure crap. You always get it. Did you watch him on tape, Dave?
I did. He's really fun. And he's played very little football. Like the upside here is really, really, really high. Like NFL potential type guy. Right now he projects as a dynamic edge. He has the size that he could easily move inside and be a terror at like a three tech. He's, what do you think? 6'4", 260 now? Like looks to be?
Yeah, at least. At least. Yeah. I mean, I saw some recent photos of him.
Just a really natural athlete. Yeah.
And that body's going to get bigger. I think he's a three technique, but he's long. He's quick. He's athletic. He's violent. Hasn't played a lot. He's probably going to have a Jay Sarah's high profile program. He's going to have a big year. He's right on the, right now.
He will be a four-star. I'm almost guaranteeing. Because
right
it.
Now he's a high three-star by Rivals and 24/7. That will bump up. And then maybe ESPN will get around to actually watching him. Or maybe not just watching him, but
actually putting in a grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really like him. He's one of my favorites so far of this class. Montana. Man, I really like him too. 3-year starter. Right now, probably 6'3", 260. Probably only a three-star because he's a little bit of a tweener in size at 6'3", 260, but he's going to
gain weight.
Oh, yeah. On his frame, the way his – I just saw him in person. He's going to end up – I'd be stunned if he's
300.
Not, I'm not – I'd be stunned if he's not 300 pounds. Yeah. And with real quickness.
Yeah.
He could end up a four-star by the end of this high school season also. A lot of our little recruiting guys kind of believe that too. So, dang. And just to compliment all this, George Towea can play nose. But, man, if you had, like, you could couple him with a big nose and George could. There aren't a lot of nose tackles that you can move down the line and they'll be effective. And George could play three. I wouldn't mind watching George at, like, the five technique. The dude can play multiple positions. These three guys. And then they're going after more. So, defensive line is looking really strong right now. And George, it's all about, I mean, you've got George Toya, who is a big time pickup, who projects to be a really good multi-year starter in college. And then two guys with massive upside in Eboig Bowden and Toilolo. So really good stuff there, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I really like this defensive line class. I'd love, you know, one more kind of edgy type. Like, I would like to see them, you know, grab some guy who's like, you know, I'm just being spoiled now. Yeah. But like somebody who's like 220-ish right now. Like, yeah. That's the
like
kind of guy.
Six, 220.
Yeah, that kind of thing. You know, who projects as like a really dynamic edge. But interior DL is so hard to recruit out west a lot of times.
They just don't exist.
And they got George Towea, who's got roots out west at the very minimum, we know, obviously. Montana Toilolo, who I think is going to end up being one of the better DTs out west. And then God's Choice, who we just said, you know, probably projects interior long term. I mean, getting three, I think, high potential interior DL in a single class is really impressive work for UCLA ever. But also in the first year for Bob Chesney, I think it's reflects some very good evaluation skills and closing skills. Linebacker. They have three linebackers committed right now. That's Colton McKibben from New Mexico. He's the highest rated guy, a four-star. They've got Kane Brackney from Oklahoma. Is he Oklahoma? Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Linebacker. he's a three star, but Tracy loves him. And then Mike Davis, the local modern day kid.
I watched a lot of tape. Again, guys, you think you got to watch just to check them out and see what they are, and then you keep going in more and more. I watched McKibben and Brackney extensively. Those are two linebackers I would project to be future starters. McKibben obviously is rated a four star, very, very good, good sized at 6'2 to 6'3. Quick, good instincts, plays hard physically, good motor. The guy that really, Dave, we're so used to hearing about these three mid-ranked three stars, and I watch them and go, ooh, I don't know if he can play at this level. And then I watch Kane Brackney, and I, am I watching the right guy? So good on tape. And he's playing in a good high school league. We got his measurements, which he thought maybe he might have, that size might be what's, he's 6'1 and 230. Really just instinctual at the position, plays hard, the motor doesn't stop. Really liked him. Like, there wasn't much drop off, if any. Watching Brackney and watching McKibben, those are very similar guys. So really impressive. I mean, Mike Davis, probably, I think might be UCLA's lowest ranked. No, it's now Esty, I think.
Yeah, it's Esty.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you can pick up a guy from modern day, I think it's probably a good idea who you think can play at this level. So I'll take that too. So, but right now
he's the one I would say I'm most skeptical about being a player at this level.
Yeah.
Among this class at this point.
They're trying to hit the home run too. I mean, I think this is those two guys. I'll go to war with those guys at linebacker, and I think that's a very good class. Like, I'd give this a B+ class. They are trying to just blow this off by going after Toa Satele, the Hawaiian four-star guy who's top 10 linebacker in the country. Really like him on tape too. Not currently like leaning towards UCLA, but he is going to visit. So, and our recruiting guys say they actually have a chance. There's Oregon, there's Texas. Stealing him from Oregon, Texas would be great. And now these days, Dave, beating out Cal is a thing.
I know. Cal's got money, and they've got an insane recruiter as their head coach.
Yeah. So good with linebackers.
And then just an absolutely disgusting defensive back class so far.
And they ain't done, and they're not close to done.
This is disgusting what they're doing. They've got 4 4 stars committed, 2 4 star safeties, and Pole Moala. From Luzinger, he's the guy who reclassified to 2027 from 2028, and pretty much, I think he went up in ranking when he reclassified, which you very rarely see. And then Khalil Terry, the guy who was committed, I think originally to Michigan State, then Notre Dame. They essentially flipped him a couple weeks back. And then the 2 cornerbacks who committed this past weekend, Jerry Outhouse from Texas, and then, as Tracy was talking about at the top, Juju Johnson, the highest rated commit in the class from Long Beach Poly.
Yeah. And they're not done.
No.
They're going after Dante Wright, the 5-star who is also from Long Beach Poly.
Good on Poly for getting back into the swing of having some big time prospects, by the way.
He's committed to Georgia. Watch tape of him. Mind blown. A guy would probably come in and really seriously compete as a true freshman. He's that talented. Oregon's in on it. A bunch of other schools are in on it. UCLA's kind of having its moment with him a little. So we'll see. I'm still skeptical, but we've been skeptical, Dave, about the recruiting. There are other guys they're still going after too, in the secondary, which is, kind of exciting. There's a guy, I like. He's currently a 3-star. He'll be a 4-star, and that's Josh Villamil from Texas. He's coming in on that first weekend.
And we've heard UCLA's top two for him.
Top two, and really, 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 really like him. Let's see. There's the verbal commit to Baylor, Carice Hoyt from Texas. Yep. 4-star guy. He's an athlete, you know, maybe linebacker. I think he's a safety. He's coming in for an official visit, trying to flip him. Wow. This is, I think if they just held pat right now, this is an A recruiting class, but they're really going for it here.
They're going for the plus. They're going for that little plus sign.
They sincerely are. I mean, there's Darius Johnson, 4-star cornerback from Riverside Notre Dame. I mean, I think they were looking good with, who was it? Who just committed to Cal?
Duvet Williams.
Yeah, Duvet Williams. But you know, he was probably looking at the class and saying, that's getting a little crowded. So you know, when you do well, it can deter other people from coming, but Dante Wright isn't going to be deterred. You know, he's probably thinking I could go in there and start right now. So wow, really, 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 really fun and impressive what they've been doing with the secondary recruiting.
This is a level of recruiting, again, we haven't seen since like Demetrius Martin and Adrian Clem were competing to see how many guys each of them could get. Like,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, like this is secondary recruiting that you just do not see very often anymore, kind of anywhere, but especially at UCLA.
So I'd say too, you know, we didn't call out some names. There are some critical guys to watch. Rashawn Lavataye, offensive tackle from Washington, a 4-star guy. UCLA is doing really well with him, kind of out evaluated, like even hometown Washington. Then he blew up in a camp up there. So I think Washington's on him now. He's officially visiting. I think
he's okay.
Is he okay?
You said he blew up.
Oh, right? Yeah. He blew up. Yeah, he's okay. Mason McDermott, 4-star from Indiana, offensive tackle. Another guy that UCLA is kind of surging with a little. They're only competing against, you know, back in the day, just not too long ago, they're competing against Indiana, Dave. You would have said, you have to recalibrate all the time when you say they're competing against Indiana because they are the national champs at this point. I mean, there are some names out there. I mean, we didn't mention Blake Wong, a receiver, 4-star receiver from Norco. Wow, that could be UCLA's. They're doing very well with him, let's say. And God, shout out to TM on his reporting. I think he had the room bugged on how. You know, I think I wrote this on the forum, everyone saying, hey, do you know this and know this? And sometimes Dave and I joke. The only way you would know that is if you were flying the wall or you had the room bugged. And I think Tracy, he bugged the room.
Yes.
Because, correct. Man, so UCLA coaches went and saw him at his high school, then they're all over him. He had this story so quickly after that. I can only attribute it to Tracy drop. He goes to all these high schools and I think he drops little bugs.
He does.
Yeah.
It's the only way to operate.
Better than, I mean, wow.
And then there's Kingston Salifi.
Great job compared to other, sources.
Kingston Salifi. He's a guy. He's a guy who's, you know, a receiver.
He's a guy. He's a guy I probably, so I watched his highlight reel and then I had to go watch a real game.
Did you watch it in the last day or something? Was there a reason you were watching it so closely?
No, Dave, I watched this at least a week ago and then watched it again.
Like in the last like 12 hours or so, something like that?
One of the fastest guys in the state of California. If he came to UCLA right now, I think he'd be the fastest guy on the roster.
If, I mean, obviously it's a big if.
Yeah. If he did.
If he runs,
he's recorded a 10.400. That's among the best in California. Probably, I bet, top 20 nationally, something like that. When you watch him on tape, He's a kickoff returner too, and he just blows. It's like everyone else is in mud at times. There are times when defenders have an angle on him, and you say, what is he attempting? He's not going to, he did make that. He did. Really fun, and he's just not a track guy. Good hands, has a really good sense of just a little one-step juke, loses his guy. You know, these are the kind of things that we've seen track guys try to be football players. That's not him. He knows what he's doing, catches the ball really well. I think UCLA's doing well. I mean, we'll just say it. They put in, there was a couple of predictions by those guys.
Huffman RPMs, and Higgins. Rippers?
Predictions in the RPM.
We got to come up with an
algorithm. Yeah. No, well, that's, yeah. So, recruiting, really fun. Just, you thought you could take off for months now, didn't you? We got you back. And upset.
And guys, I do mean to reiterate one last time. Tracy, how many official visits have they hosted?
As of right now, Dave, I'm not sure, but I think it's at zero.
It's at zero. How many commitments are they likely to have at the end of today, Tracy?
They already have one. So you're counting that one?
Total in this class by the end of today. 19.
Oh, total. 19. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're likely to have at the end of today.
And they probably will go to about 26.
I would think, I think we're looking at mid to high 20s at minimum.
Unless
at this point.
Non-committed guys. Oh, so that first weekend official is May 15th and May 17th. My wife's birthday.
Happy birthday, Lori.
Happy birthday, Lori. There are some UCLA commits. 1, 2, 3. Five UCLA commits among the 25 guys. So there are 20 non-committed to UCLA non-committed guys also visiting that weekend. We got it. Tracy's got to get down to UCLA and start planting.
He's got to bug up. I mean, he's got to bug Wasserman.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be, I can't say the biggest. Well, I mean, during spring, easily the biggest spring recruiting weekend of UCLA's history, because you don't go back that far for spring recruiting weekends.
Correct.
But this many guys, you got to go back to, this is easy too. You got to go back to Jim Mora. There was probably a weekend that was comparable.
I think it's among the biggest. I mean, the concentration is, I don't know, like they had, if you remember, like when they would do the fall official visits and then the winter official visits back in the old days, like it was, you know, you would typically have like 10 guys in a weekend, and that would be a big weekend. That first official visit weekend next weekend is going to be nuts.
And you know, they put so much effort into the recruiting. There's so much that goes into it. You start to think, and some people have said this on the forum, when you host this many guys, what is there? And we can't tell you what this recruiting weekend will look like. We can't tell you, Dave. We have no idea what hosting, how many guys are there? 30 guys visiting. How do you do that at the level that they recruit for 30 guys?
This is where the Bob Chesney clones come into play. You break them out of storage again.
Yeah, it's like Westworld.
Derek Gray probably needs to hit the cloning lab too.
Yeah, Derek Gray. I thought I saw like three of him at the
game. There probably are. Yeah. I thought I saw a couple on the sidelines, and I thought that was pretty bad operational security, you know?
Yeah.
You want to have the clones operating, but you don't want them to be visible to multiple people, to the same person.
It kind of gives it away. I mean, there is an NCAA rule because it's ahead of the rules, but I think that's cheating.
Correct. And like they haven't perfected cloning yet. You know, each copy, it's a little, you know, little less fidelity. Like I just, you know, you don't want to have that.
Yeah. Anyway, that weekend, insanity. I guess the only thing that probably holding it back is it is the first weekend, and a lot of these guys are going to be taking multiple visits through the end of June, at least through the June 19th. So they might not just pop, you know, in that, or they could, Dave, because they have without taking visits. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the long standing theory is you kind of like to get the last visit as long as the kid takes all his visits, because you get that lasting impression at the end. UCLA front loading their visits like this, they're going for a different kind of strategy, I think. Let's get them in. Let's get them won over, possibly verbally committed, and then ride this sucker out, and hopefully we can hold on, maybe.
Yeah. Well, in today's era, you know, like the way agreements get signed and everything, I think there is more validity to trying to hold on to guys. Yeah. But yeah, their theory of the case is obviously to get all of their, I mean, it seems like they want to get their high school recruiting pretty much donezo coming out of May, maybe coming out of June, but like have this class pretty much locked and loaded. And then obviously you do your fall evaluations, and if somebody blows up, somebody blows up, and you know, you don't say no. But they're going to have their 26 guys by the end of June. I don't think there's any real major doubt about that at this point. And then it's going to be, what do they supplement with?
Yeah.
You know, do you supplement with additional high school? Do you reserve spots for the portal? And also, like, what kind of attrition are they expecting? You know, how many guys are they expecting to transfer out after the season? And like, they're just the high level math of putting together a roster now is challenging.
Yeah. Challenging to say the least. I mean, there's just too many unknowns to even know what you're doing. Here's going to be the challenge too, possibly. If they have a good season, I mean, they're getting all these guys jumping on without even having played a down of college football. If they have a decent to good season, they could be seeing a lot of potential flips. And let's say they get the 26 by the end of June, and they have some four-star guys, legit, like real impact players who want to come. They have to start thinking, Do we take these guys, or do we hold out for the transfer portal?
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun dilemma, and we hope we are there, Dave. We hope. I didn't know when the end of the season is.
I just want to say
December 1st, we're thinking about this.
I just want to say, like, from a theory of the case, this is what we've been advocating for forever, which is prioritize high school and then you supplement with the transfer portal. And they're doing this from the jump, like they're doing, and this is exactly when you should start doing this, because if you wait 3 years trying to mess around with the transfer portal like Lincoln Riley did, you end up on the hot seat, and then you pivot back to high school, you may never see the fruits of your effort in the high school ranks because you spent so long being bad at the transfer portal. There's no great way to be great at the transfer portal every single year because you are so dependent on the pool of players who are coming into that thing. High school, you can develop. High school, you can try to sign multi-year contracts. You can keep these guys in school for a longer period of time, and you can develop. And your hit rate doesn't need to be 80% plus because you're bringing in a bunch of them. With transfer recruiting, you're almost always picking out guys who want to start somewhere. And if you miss on those, you're in trouble. So they're definitely approaching this with, I think, what we would consider the right theory.
Let's end it on this, Dave. Talking about things that we've always kind of advocated for. You know, we've been saying forever that, you know, UCLA has its place in college football where it should be. It has its limitations, but it has its advantages. And if you just had a coach who could really embrace recruiting, like Jim Mora, but Jim Mora plus, UCLA recruiting would take off. And we've been met with so much skepticism, and I don't blame y'all, because you got some BBS going through what we've all been through for a decade. But this is obvious. An obvious example of what UCLA could be, and here's the thing too, what it should be. That's what we've always been saying.
Yeah,
this is what it should be. I mean, it's UCLA has so many advantages going on. It should be operating at this level in recruiting.
Absolutely. All right. Tracy has to go get fitted for a crown. I have to continue on with my wonderful day. So we're going to leave you here with that. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, and we'll talk to you again next time.
See y'all later.